In a world of bus schedules and business calls, sidestep into a realm of Koigyu, casting, and kunans. Okay, people, get your geek on.
Hi everyone, it's May 10th again, 2013, and you're listening to episode 73.5 of Knit One Geek 2. I'm Karen.
I'm Maggie. Please do not adjust your sets. Yes, you heard that right. It is still May 10th.
Yes, because there has been a lot going on this week, and so we're taking more of those little bits of recordings that we have and are sort of putting them together into one episode.
They're getting stitched together.
Yes, but this feels more like, you know, an extra version of the last of 73.
Because since the last time you all listened to us, I just pulled a you all. I've been listening to my husband too much.
Y'all. Since y'all listened to us.
Damn. We have seen Iron Man 3.
Woo!
Oh my god, Karen has not stopped sparkling.
Oh, and there have been other things going on.
Oh, good God. I arrived today at the house, and she just, like, I open the door, and I'm looking at her, and there's just, like, this halo of light coming out of her, and I'm going, what? I'm not stepping in the door until I know what the hell's going on.
But you're going to have to wait to hear what that was. Because even though this episode is going to be a non-traditional episode, we're not going to be doing all the segments, we're still going to start off with what we've been knitting.
Okay.
Just to catch you up.
Okay.
So what have you been working on?
Ask me what I've been working on a couple times over.
What have you been working on?
Well, since...
What have you been working on?
Yeah.
What have you been working on?
Thank you. At the recording of the last time when I had this out, it was a different pattern.
Yeah.
It's still a baby blanket, but it was the chalice pattern.
Yep.
And then Monday of this week, the illustrious Michelle sent around an email, and I kind of wanted it. And I kind of liked it. It was a pattern.
Yes.
And I ripped out what I had done, and I started over, because...
This is for the more goth than you baby blanket?
Yes. This is the purple that is more goth than you can believe, because it is...
I dare you put it up on Ravelry as the more goth than you baby blanket.
Sure, I will. What's the baby gonna do? Mope?
Well, they cry all the time anyway.
Yeah, they cry all the time anyway.
There you go.
So basically, and this is so much... One of the reasons I did want to switch...
Yeah.
It is so much easier to remember. Oh my god, I do not need to take the pattern with me. It's basically a large... garter stitch border, and I've got alternating rows of cables, so it looks like a bunch of interconnected bows.
Mm-hmm. It looks almost like smocking.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except whereas you can do knitted smocking where you wrap the yarn around stitches.
Like, yeah.
You put stitches on a cable needle and you wrap yarn around it. This is uses cable things.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I am really liking this because I can take it with me and I don't need to memorize so much. I don't need the pattern with me, and I'm like, yay! And I am doing this out of Lorna's Laces Worsted, and if this had a color, I think it was eggplant, actually. But I think I'm going to call it, you know, zombie eggplant, because it's so dark and morbid.
Yeah, it is that almost black purple.
Morticia zombie eggplant. But yeah, this is what I'm knitting, and I have not spun of late.
Would you like to tell the good people why, and why things have been so crazy, and why we haven't done a traditional episode the last
week? Alright, I've got to apologize to everybody, and I've got to explain myself, because now that it's a done deal, I can actually exhale. Of Monday this past week, took possession of my first house.
Yay!
So I am now a homeowner type thing.
Yes, you were waiting until you had the actual keys.
And speaking of which, I brought the spare set with me, and this is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, there's a little Iron Man charm on the keys.
So yes, my life has been chaotic because at the same time as doing the whole house hunting and then
The
house negotiations and then the house financing and then the house paperwork and then the house inspection and everything else that goes with it. At the same time at the office, I am also taking over for somebody who's away on maternity leave, so I'm effectively doing two jobs at the office.
Yeah.
So, there are times when I come home and I wonder, where do I get the most rest? Is it at home or is it at work?
Napping underneath your desk.
And I'm never sure where it is now. Because at least at work, I'm not surrounded by boxes and I'm in one place. Whereas right now, my house has been a disaster zone for 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And when I mean disaster zone, I mean like boxes and stuff emptied out. And when is the next time that I'm going to need this if I don't need this now? And... the kitchen has not been barely been touched because I'm too scared to actually go into it. I'm like, because we use it every day.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to decide, because you, luckily you have until the end of this month.
Yes, we do have until the end of this month.
But then, but because of that, then you have to put stuff in boxes and decide, okay, well, am I going to need this in the next 3 weeks?
And because we have an elfling.
Yes.
Sort of like, stuff has to stop around 8 in the evening when he goes to bed, and at least one person needs to stay in the house with him because, you know, society and government and things like that kind of frown on it if you just leave the child alone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's when meteorites hit. So, and I'm going to put it out there, thank you to my husband because he has taken it on himself for the past 3 to 4 nights to go to the house on his own by himself. He's doing cleaning, scrubbing, moving, heavy lifting, all that sort of stuff on his
sanding.
Own.
Yeah, because tomorrow's the painting party.
Tomorrow's paint day. And then Mother's Day on Sunday is big, heavy lifting, moving type day. And we should probably be staying in there from that night on. There'll still be little stuff at the old house, but
yeah.
Every time, I'm still working in the city, so every time, we're moving one town over, and it's still a 15-minute drive.
Yeah.
But, so every time I go home, I'll just take another carload home.
Yeah.
But OMG, I has the tired.
Yeah, not surprisingly.
And this is the first time, I'm sorry if I'm bitching about this multiple times over to people who know me. First time in my life I've ever experienced seasonal allergies, and I now have sympathy for everyone who has ever had to go through them because, oh my god.
Yeah.
Until I figured out what was happening, I could not function. It is kind of like being on the NyQuil train.
Except without the fun, I can do everything. Delusion. Yeah, the pollen counts I've heard have been in the horrible the last few days.
And in which case, I'm glad I'm not in Savannah anymore. I went to Art University in Savannah, Georgia, and the pollen count there usually goes off the scale every year. You know, I had a green car. I went to class, and I came out of class, and the car was yellow.
Yeah.
That kind of pollen count, so I'm glad I'm not there right now. I would be ridiculous. Anyway, so that is why my life has been hell, and consequently why the podcast life has been a little bit sporadic. But Karen, being the organized person that she is, has come up with a plan for that.
What? I don't think you know who you're dealing with.
Oh, I thought of you, but dang it, I'm just wasn't crafty enough. We had an opening, Toy Store opening. Do you know about Mastermind Toys?
Yes.
Okay. If anybody's not heard of it, Mastermind Toys, really cool toy store. And we had an opening here in St. Catharines. And mm-hmm. I went to their opening party
mm-hmm.
with the Elfling and Daddy and such. And they had a guy there that made a balloon tree that was like 15 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a balloon beehive with balloon bees and a balloon monkey and balloon cockatoo. Anyway, they have the Lego action figures with all the different figures that you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And one of them is a librarian.
Eee!
The problem? They're all individually sealed inside of wrapping that you can't see into, so it's a surprise thing.
Yeah, I've seen the little random, basically these little bags for the minifigs, and then you just get random ones.
And I inside. Could... I saw, this
they
is,
have different series.
This is where the, you know, you look at it and go, this is where our lives have come to. All of the mothers were crowded around it, and they were all feeling the bags.
Trying to figure out what's inside.
Trying to figure out
It feels like a firefighter's helmet.
Yeah, basically. And I'm like, oh, I found a rectangular piece. Is that the book that the librarian is holding? And they're like, no. They all come with a base. They're all got a rectangular. And I'm like, oh, I'm clearly out of my league here. And, you know, they're all like, picking it up. And I'm like, still looking at the same first bag, like it's gonna hold the mysteries of the universe. I'm like...
Like you're gonna suddenly develop x-ray vision.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought of you. If I could have x-rayed into the bag, I would have gotten you some librarians in a bag.
Librarians in a bag? That sounds bad.
Sounds like a punk band, I think.
Librarians in a bag.
Maybe.
I know a few librarians that might be in the bag tomorrow night. one of our guests who has been on before, and who very well may be one of the guest hosts
Luscious
in the next
Lily.
Couple weeks, Lily, she is having a Disney princess sleepover party for her 29th birthday. Awesome. Because now, of course, we can watch the princess movies and, you know, wear tiaras and stuff and drink
whenever someone sings.
Oh, sweetie, we'd be on the floor halfway into Tangled.
You are good. Yeah, that's true. You're going to have to come up with a drinking game for it.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I'm sure we can do that.
Drink whenever somebody looks off into the distance.
Drink whenever someone expresses dissatisfaction with their current life.
Drink when there's a reprise.
Oh, God.
Drink when an animal has more intelligence than a human.
Yep. On the floor, halfway through Tangled.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I just know, I'm saying halfway through Tangled because that's one of Lily's favorites, and so that's probably the one we're going to be watching first. I know if she asks, I'll be like, dude, I know you love Tangled. Put it in the DVD. Mm-hmm. So, yes. What have I been working on? Well, after the, see, you have the craziness now. I have, you know, I had like 20% of the craziness before the last regular episode we released, because I had exams, oh my god! Well, my an exam, and I'm still in that, like, I don't know how to study, I don't know if this information is getting into my brain, it's been 8 years since I was in university. I was sort of in panic mode for a couple weeks there. But, thankfully that was over, and I actually just got my marks back yesterday. I must have kicked ass on that exam.
Cool.
I made it my bitch. Yeah, so it has been quieter for me since then, but then your life has gone completely crazy.
Yeah, you know, there's always a pendulum shift.
And I should mention, like, with the crazy that's going on in your life, and with the fact I'm taking another school course, and it's going to be summer soon, which is crazy, at the library, and you're still going to be doing, like, two times the work at work. We're going to plan for at least every other week podcasting.
Yeah.
If we do manage to do it every week, occasionally,
yeah,
that will be bonus.
We do appreciate people checking up and making sure that we're still alive, but...
And not dead.
We do promise that, you know, we do actually want to keep doing this.
Yes, we do. It's just sometimes, you know, it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, where did that week go by?
Oh, dang. What do you mean I have a family? Oh, wait, I planned that a while
ago. Stupid family. What do you mean I have to go to work?
Stupid work.
Lousy work. Okay. So anyway, yes, knitting. I have been working on a couple things. I am almost done. I don't have any of them to show Maggie right now. I am almost done the Turtle Pearl
Turtle
Stripey
Pearl?
Socks.
Oh,
and Miss
yes.
K's Big Day. Because
so
I am like, maybe like one stripe left on the heel, or on the cuff. And these are toe up. So as soon as I bind that off, I just need to do the heel.
Yeah,
because I did the afterthought feel. And then I am done those socks. Not that I would be wearing them anytime soon, because all of a sudden it got super warm here.
Super warm and super cold at the same time. Because you know we have a frost warning for Monday?
Yeah. The temperature's going way down this weekend.
Go home, Mother Nature.
It's been like 24 degrees.
You're drunk.
Yeah. But yes, I've been working on that. I was working on, I don't know how well you guys are going to be able to hear it, because I know what people said, so it's kind of hard for me to tell exactly how well the audio comes out, but we'll see! In the episode, the previous episode to this one, at midnight, as I mentioned, I am doing a cowl, which I am making up as I go along. Well, not as I go along, because, you know, I'm basically just doing the stitch pattern over and over and over again right now. Out of some of the Mean Girls Yarn Club yarn that I got. It's the hoity-toity colorway, which was inspired by Lady Catherine de Bourgh from Pride and Prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's purple and different shades of purple and tan. I'm doing that in a sort of, it's a variation on feather and fan.
Okay.
So it's basically four yarn overs followed by, you know, four decreases followed by four yarn overs to make that, you know, sort of waviness.
Right.
And then every three sort of, it's those two, it's a little patterned row with the decreases and yarn overs, then three rows of stockinette. And then after you do three of the pattern repeats, one of those stockinette repeats, you actually do a purl row in the middle, so you make a little ridge
right
on it. And like I said, it's from the Japanese pattern book, which I'm just going to have to link to the page on the Needle Arts Bookshop, because it's in Japanese. I don't know what it says.
I ain't linking that
it
for
says
you.
300 on it. That's all I can read. But luckily, I mean, all the Japanese knitting books, actually, if you're interested in that sort of thing, I mean, obviously it helps to be able to look at them first, but depending on whether you have somewhere that carries them near you, they are really cool, because the one I got, I mean, not only all the patterns are charted, one, but in the back of the book, not only does it have, like, a glossary of what all the little chart symbols mean, it's not like, you know, picture of the little thing and then the Japanese word for slip one, knit one, pass the slip stitch over. It is a picture, it is a series of pictures of how to do that.
Cool.
Stitch.
Okay.
So it's actually totally visual, and it's really neat.
So it's like a tutorial of every stitch that you
yeah.
need to know how to do.
Yeah. So even if you don't know Japanese, you can figure out from this book how to do all this stuff.
This is good, because I don't.
Me neither. And then I'm about, maybe like 3 inches into that. I'm probably only going to do it like about 6 inches wide or something, because it's a large tube, like a large circumference tube.
Right.
So that I'm planning that...
To twist it and then roll it back.
Yeah, I'll only do it about 6 or 7 inches tall, and then twist it and fold it back on itself to make a smaller sort of, but denser tube around my neck. And I'm doing that with the Knitter's Pride Carbons needles.
Oh.
Which I really like.
Oh, that's good.
And I did get a little package from Webs earlier this week, which had some yarn in it for a sweater. And another pair of the Carbons, this time in actual sock sizes, not in the Karen read the package wrong.
Sizes? Size.
So yes, once I finish the other socks, the Turtle Pearl socks, and probably, I'll probably cast it on first. I also have the socks I've been working on the last couple weeks, or picked up again in the last couple weeks after sitting in my knitting bin for like a couple years. It's the, I think I mentioned before, the sport weight yarn. I think it's Mountain Colors, but I started it so long ago and the tag is long gone. So I have no clue what they are. I'm pretty sure they're Mountain Colors, but I've been looking at their colorways and it's like, nah, that doesn't really look right. And I've even looked in their stuff to see if there's any yarns that, and the yarn doesn't seem right either, because it's definitely a sport weight or a DK weight. But I couldn't find one of theirs, even looking through their discontinued ones, that looks right. I'm still not entirely sure what those are, other than their wool.
That's good enough for right now.
Mm-hmm. And I actually did the heel of those the other day, and I'm working on the leg now. And because they're thicker, they're not going to take that much longer. But I'm probably going to cast on another pair of socks first, because I need something else to bring to the party tomorrow night. Oh, and speaking of new needles, I've been wanting the Chow Goo Red Lace interchangeable set for a long time, but budget and places that have it in stock not having it in stock when I have budget sort of mean I haven't gotten it yet. So the other night I was thinking, you know, they do sell tips and cables separately,
mm-hmm.
not just in the set. So I could spend a small amount now and get some of the tips and some of the cables. And then when I get the set, I will have an extra set of tips and I will have some extra cables, which is good, because knowing with my nitpick set, I'm always like, where the hell did my 4mm tips go? And I have at least 2 pairs of tips for that.
I keep hearing that wrong. It keeps going to a very dirty place.
2 pairs of tips with a P. I only have 1 pair of tits.
Not going there.
And there's so many things I can say right now, but I'll stop.
I'm not going there.
But yes, so I ordered those from a place from fiberwild.com, and I just got the shipping notice yesterday.
Awesome.
So hopefully they will be here.
So you have lots.
Sooner rather than later.
Lots to keep you busy.
Yes. I don't know how much time I'm going to have because my course started today, but whatever.
Ooh. Okay, so. But yes,
so segueing into what little geeks we were going to do today. I am going to need something to calm me down.
Yes.
Because, oh my god.
This is
we were actually not planning to talk about this, but holy shit, this happened just before Maggie came over.
Yes. This is the part where I literally walked into the house and there's this the door open and there's this blaring of trumpets, angels, music, sound, and Karen's just sort of like bouncing off the walls like Pikachu on caffeine.
Yep. Because.
Okay, wait a minute. Everybody, place your bets. Okay? You made your bet? Okay, go ahead.
If you thought Benedict Cumberbatch turned up in my house naked, you're wrong, sadly.
Because then this podcast would not be happening right now.
No! No, I would have been like, hi, Maggie. Bye, Maggie. Closed door. Back to the sexing.
The door would have opened. You would have pushed your mother out of the house.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mom, Maggie, Mom, go bond.
Here, credit card. This is my password. Go do something with it.
Can we get back to what we were originally talking about? You see what I mean about her being Pikachu on, like, you know, raw coffee beans?
Okay, so, yes, so, as we've known for a few weeks, ABC was going to announce their fall lineup on Tuesday. As of yesterday, there were rumors that they were going to make a little announcement today, and they did, because they have announced that they are officially picking up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a full season. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And there's promo pictures with Coulson in it. Oh my god. I kind of wish this was a video cast, even though that would mean I'd have to, you know, have makeup on and stuff.
Oh, fuck makeup.
Because holy shit.
Yeah, Karen's not exactly holding it in right now.
No.
Karen is expelling more...
Really? They couldn't tell.
More calories and energy than I normally do at a Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Yeah, the picture is the shield emblem behind everybody, and Coulson is standing front and center with his hands in his pockets, the shades down, in the suit,
naturally. Looking like a badass.
And he's got two agents on the right and three agents on the left.
And it looks fine. I can't wait. So yeah, this came out at like 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I'm like, I was about to actually put on the Avengers theme as my celebratory music when Maggie rang the door. But another fun thing, there's actually a website already up for fans of the show called shieldtv.net, and they have a chat room. And last night, a very special guest dropped into the chat room.
Somebody wandered in. Unannounced, uninvited, but he was made
very, very welcome.
He was made very welcome.
Yes, Clark Gregg. Phil Coulson himself came into the chat room, proved that it was him, and either was assigned or picked the username.
His first name is Agent. There are very few men that have such an icon attached to them out of just a suit and the glasses.
Yes.
Like a standard business suit.
Yeah, and so, of course, my Twitter feed has been exploding for the last couple hours as people squeal about it. Though, I was telling people I was getting a little verklempt at one of Clark Gregg's tweets, because the Coulson Lives Project tweeted to him, you know, congratulations, and he tweeted back with, Phil owes you his life.
Aww.
It's like, oh. As somebody on Tumblr said, I feel like we won a staring contest with Marvel.
You know what? He's probably right. Probably yep. did.
So yes, we don't have an actual, like, premiere date or anything like that yet. And there's actually going to be, by the time you hear this, obviously it will have been on. But hey, you can go check YouTube and see if Marvel hasn't managed to pull all the copies down yet, because I'm sure it's going to be there. There is going to be a promo for the show on this weekend's episode of Once Upon a Time. Bloody well better post it themselves. But yes, so, and speaking of Marvel things.
Yes.
We went to see a movie last week.
We did.
At the, thankfully, 9:30 showing.
Oh my god. How late were you up?
Not that late. Maybe like 1:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Almost 2?
That was me.
Well, because, as you may know, Iron Man 3 came out last week, finally, in North America. And I had a friend in Australia who'd actually, it came out a week earlier there, and so she was... A week before, she'd been lamenting that she doesn't know that many people who are in Australia who are nuts about Iron Man and other things like that, so she didn't have anyone to squeal with. So, of course, considering it was like, you know, 2 o'clock her time, in the afternoon, her time, I immediately got on and was like, oh my god, Ashley, we need to talk. And we were flailing at each other for a while.
There was a good potential for flail. Yes. I will admit that.
So, actually, right here, I will slot in the audio we recorded before the movie, because we decided to just give it a whirl and see how it works out. So we will travel back in time again, 2 weeks ago. Tiddly-doo, 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 tiddly-doo.
So okay.
Hi everybody.
Yet again, we are recording on my iPod Touch, because Maggie and I are in the theater, waiting to see Iron Man 3, oh my god!
Karen has already squeed several times over. She's hit her squee maximum.
I don't think there is a squee maximum. I don't think such a thing exists.
All right, you have a quota, and you have exceeded
like
it.
It's like the boundaries of the universe.
It doesn't exist.
It's just the squee maximum just keeps expanding infinitely.
All right, got it. That does not mean that it's going to one day start contracting and develop into a singularity that will swallow everything, does it?
Maybe, but probably not tonight.
Okay.
You know, technically there's a volcano under Yellowstone that's like 40,000 years overdue.
Oh.
So, that's more likely to...
Okay.
That's more likely to take us out, really.
Anyways, hi everybody.
Yeah, so we are anticipating Iron Man, in case you hear chatter in the background. The theater is actually not that full yet.
Not yet.
Which is awesome, because we got really good seats. Or at least we had a very good pick of seats.
We did see Miss Emily. Hi,
yes.
Em.
Hi, Emily.
You're all the way back there.
Yeah. We're going to be seeing it in 3D, because that was the earlier showing.
Yeah. Some of us have to work tomorrow.
Some of us have other things to do tomorrow.
And stuff.
And I'm not even making a dirty joke. No, some of us...
So anyways, we are as good knitters would be. We are here with our knitting.
Yep. What are you working on?
I am...
You just cast something on.
I just cast on, for the Elfling, a stocking cap for basically his Christmas present, because he's not going to be wearing it anytime soon, because this is the first, like, few days of warm to hot weather we've had. So anyways, it is nice and warm right now. So I am making this for the Elfling for pretty much Christmas. Mm-hmm. And all it is, I mean, it's big, bulky, and probably... Alright, it's worsted weight wool.
I was going to say, that's not bulky. It's larger than sock
yarn. It's larger than sock yarn. To me, that's bulky. It's worsted weight wool, and it was sort of came in a hand-me-down box.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I made a stocking cap out of, I think, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved it. Like, it was really cute to see him go to the bus stop wearing his little stocking cap.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that the cat shredded the pom-pom on the end.
Oh, dear, yes.
And, you know, then it started fraying. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
unraveling.
And things like that. Yeah. So, to keep him from getting upset, I told him I would make him a new one.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but it has to be just like the same. I'm like, oh, great. So I don't even get to try, you know.
I was going to try a new pattern.
I was going to give him, yarn. I was going to give him, like, do rings of sock yarn and, you know, do little stripes up the hat. Like, no. I'm going, fine, take all the fun out of it, why don't you? But it makes for very, very easy theater knitting.
True.
Because as soon as I finish, you know, a couple of inches of ribbing, it's just going to be knit in the round until second star to the right, straight on till morning.
Yep.
Pretty much. And then when it gets ridiculously long, start decreasing it. And he looks pretty adorable in it. I highly endorse stocking caps. Very little pattern needed.
And I am working on my second sock of my Turtle Pearl stripey sock in the Miss K's Big Day. Kind of wondering if those big rumbles from the theater next door can be picked up. If you do hear a loud boom, that's the theater next door. Obviously something's going splody.
We should be seeing lots of stuff going splody.
Yep. I cannot wait.
Splody.
Oh, also lots of awesome character stuff. We get to see Rhodey again.
Oh yeah.
And we get to see Tony and Rhodey interacting. We get to see more Tony and Pepper.
We get to see a lot of Pepper.
Because Pepper's awesome. I am so excited about this. I keep seeing reviews and stuff where they say it's better than Avengers, and I'm like, oh my...
Yeah, we were sitting talking about that.
My mind cannot comprehend how that can be, but part of me is like, oh my god, I can't wait. Should be interesting to see how full it is. When I checked earlier, like when I first came down to the theater, I just double-checked and it wasn't sold out.
Lots of kids are going to be up past the bedtime tonight.
If I had kids, they would totally be like, no, you're coming. It's like, but Mom, I want to stay. No, you're coming. I mean, provided they were, you know, some appropriate age. But apparently today, all day they've been having an Iron Man marathon at some AMC theaters in the States.
Yeah, which is kind of... All right, it's not as crazy as doing the Lord of the Rings marathon, but that's still a lot of Tony Stark.
Yeah, well, it is still three movies. Like, it's still four movies, actually. Because they were doing Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Avengers, and then Iron Man 3. So that's quite the marathon. But apparently, Clark Gregg was retweeting a number of people who said that every time Coulson came on the screen, people cheered and clapped.
And that's so sweet. Oh. How many other characters like this are so loved?
I don't know.
Like, the nerd...
Especially small characters.
The groups out there... Like, the fandom in general just decided, no, he's not allowed to die.
Yeah.
No. Well, I don't care who you are, how much money you make.
Y'all are forewarned. I might even actually turn this thing back on at that point. But my secret hope is that Coulson shows up in the end credits thing. And obviously, if it does, I'm somewhat tempted to turn this recording thing back on just before the end of the credits. Just so y'all can hear the reaction, if in case it happens. Though I realize now that I say this, if I actually do that, he won't be in it.
Tiddly-doo, tiddly-doo, tiddly-doo. And we're back in the present day. We'll give the TARDIS back,
Fill it back up with gas, and...
Fill it back up with gas, clean all the yarn out of the car. Oh my god, dude. But it's perfect yarn storage. It's bigger on the inside.
Turn off the lights.
It's like my stash.
It is. Turn off the lights and just roll it into the driveway.
And then run.
And then run, quickly. Yes.
Toss the doctor back in, close the door really fast, run away. So yes, first non-spoilery opinions on Iron Man 3.
All right. I think that the plot line was awesome. There is so much character development in everybody.
Yeah, it actually took a few days to absorb everything that had gone on in the movie, because it was, for a while, it was like, oh my god, all this information has been stuffed in my eye holes, and my brain needs to process this. But in a good way. In a very good way.
Yes. Special effects, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
So I feel like now that's almost sort of a...
meh.
Yeah, sort of a there were really good special effects in the sense that I didn't watch the movie and say, wow, those special effects really sucked there. You know, it's sort of like with Avengers and stuff like that now, it's kind of like...
expected.
Yeah. There's a certain level that things have to go to.
We are...
That is normal now.
We are spoiled
Avengers and
viewer.
Iron Man 3 are basically, yeah.
We are a spoiled viewer. But that's okay. That's a hard life to live.
I know.
There are definitely some flailing moments. We'll talk about those later.
Yes, there are definitely some fanboys ain't gonna like this moments.
Yeah, there's that too.
But that comes in the spoilery spot. But I think a lot of those moments, I don't have huge long history with the comics themselves and that sort of thing, so this is from that sort of perspective.
Yeah.
But
I do like, and
this is
not spoilery because it's been out in the trailers, that they did continue with, you know, the knowledge of Avengers.
Yes.
They incorporated New York and what happened with New York into the storyline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in a big way.
Yeah, not just at the beginning. It played a part throughout the entire story.
Yeah. Which is one of the really cool things about them having this whole, like, Marvel Cinematic Universe and Phase 2 of it, that they can actually deal with what happens in the movies, and we see even more of what happens afterward and that sort of thing, which should be really interesting to explore in the next few movies. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we can really say without spoiling.
Because, yeah, I know.
But yeah, I'll just say it too, that this one manages to be, I have seen some people saying, you know, the tone feels uneven to them. I think it may be because it does manage to go darker and more serious and deal with some really interesting stuff while still having humorous moments and funny lines from Tony and
stuff. The one-liners and...
yeah, to me it didn't feel out of place. It feels like this is Tony's coping mechanism. This is Tony, period. You know, and, you know, your life is never... unless things are, you know, things have to be extremely crap before, you know, life is, you know, unremitting darkness.
Yeah, your life has to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, basically. You have to be Bruce Wayne in the Chris Nolan movies.
Yeah.
Before everything is totally horrible and you can't crack jokes about anything. I can see where, you know, other people may have different standards as to what tone shifts they will put up with. And it might be because I don't know enough about movie making and stuff, but from the perspective of someone who just really loves watching movies, it felt good to me.
It felt good.
I mean, someone who's invested, and, you know, and it's also like... from the perspective of someone who is really invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and therefore may not notice certain things because she's too busy going, oh my god, that's another Iron Man movie. So, yes. Yeah, so that being said, I think we need to go into the spoilery bits because...
yeah, we're not...
we can't...
we don't have a lot
adequately
to talk about
discuss other than, oh my god, I loved it.
Okay, so here be spoilers.
Spoiler warning here. As usual, I will put the time code in where you will be safe from spoilers after.
Okay.
Oh... my god.
All right. So top, one of your top moments. I'm not going to ask for your best moment.
Oh, lordy. What did I tell, god, what did I tell you on the way home? I'm trying to think, we were discussing this on the way home. And it's so hard.
All right. Pepper going badass.
Yes.
On one of the suits.
Yeah.
Like, she's not in the suit. She goes badass and takes out a suit.
Yes. Because as we should mention, if you haven't seen the movie... why are you listening to this part? Seriously. But if you haven't seen the movie, basically the whole thing deals with this genetic modification that the bad guy, Aldrich Killian, has been developing through his AIM Corporation, AIM, which makes it funny when I'm going on AOL Instant Messenger, which called Extremis, where basically you are able to channel fire and heat.
Yeah.
At one point, he actually manages to breathe fire. And makes you very hard to kill. You regenerate.
You regen.
It's basically because of... it started as this regenerative thing, but the regenerative thing led to this ability to control fire and heat.
They have a... anybody who's had the serum, basically they can overheat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's probably linked to the adrenaline system.
Yeah. There is a flaw in it, which is something that the lead scientist on the project is trying to fix, where occasionally people will just go supernova and explode and take out a number of people, including Happy. Ah! Yeah. Not for realsies.
Not for realsies.
Not for permanent.
Oh, let me tell you. How many...
Shane Black does not pull a Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Oh, but there was when we almost lost Pepper, when, like, she fell.
Oh, my God.
When she fell, I'm like, oh, my God, they did not just do that. Like, she fell into fire.
Maggie and I were saying back and forth, we're like, he did not just pull a Joss Whedon on us. He did not just pull a Joss Whedon on us.
Because she fell 20 feet into flames. Not just a couple of flames, but, like, a roaring pit of fire.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that did not happen. But it played into the plot because Tony has to basically grow his own set of balls for himself now.
Yeah. Because, and we're kind of doing this ass backwards and telling you about the end of the movie first.
I know, but the end
of... it was so awesome because then, of course, because Pepper has, because Gillian had kidnapped Pepper and had injected her with the extremist stuff, she has now leveled up, like, to, like, level 50 badass and ends up kicking some serious ass at the end of the movie. She saves Tony's butt and it's so awesome.
So she basically is able to... you know, discharge the heat. She comes out, like, even her hair is unsinged.
Yeah.
And she takes out, because all of the suits have been programmed to take out anybody with extremis in their system without prejudice.
Yeah.
So one of the suits targets Pepper. Tony cannot tell it to disable because his remote speaker has, like, fallen out. And Pepper just basically cracks down on this suit. Like, flip, crack, pound, done.
Oh, it's so awesome.
And you see Tony just, she's standing there just doing the Amazon heave, deep breath heaving, watching what she's done, and she goes, wow, that was really violent.
Yeah, Pepper is made of awesome in this movie.
She is.
Contrary to what we thought looking at stuff beforehand, she does not actually get her own suit at this point. More like when the house is collapsing, Tony has created it so that he can send... as we can see in the commercial, he has created the suit so that it can fly to him in pieces and attach it to him. He can also make it fly other places, as in onto Pepper, to protect her when the house is collapsing.
Okay, further to that, I love... some of the things I love is when they show that superheroes don't get it right on the first time.
Yes.
Tony makes such an ass of himself. How many times?
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for the suit to show up.
Yep.
Funk. Better late than ever.
A lot of this movie goes back to the first movie. Because we get to see, you know, after the house in Malibu is destroyed, and all his stuff is destroyed, and he is shot elsewhere, far away, elsewhere in the country. You know, doesn't have his company, doesn't have his suits, only has one suit, which is not working, and has no power. And, you know, doesn't have Pepper, doesn't have his lab, doesn't have all this other stuff. He is yanked back to the same place he was at the beginning of Iron Man, where he has nothing to protect him, and he has to use his real superpower,
his brain,
and his engineering ability to solve this mystery of, you know, who the Mandarin is and what he's going to attack next and how he's doing it, that sort of thing.
Which is another reason, kids, stay in school. Science is awesome.
Yes. So he has to use all that and the contents of, like, someone's garage who has something of a, like, a shop in their garage. And one young boy.
Oh, he's so awesome.
Oh my God. If you first see the kid come on, you're like, oh shit, this could go really bad. And then Tony makes it clear that no. This is not going to be, like, the sappy thing that you expect from any other movie. Dad's leave. Get over it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was dad's leave. Don't be a pussy about it. He is constantly snarking with this kid.
Tony does...
And this kid is you know, manipulative little shit, too. So.
Oh, he is, yeah. Tony does not have...
There are two of a kind.
...a paternal bone in his body, and he's not afraid of that fact, either.
Nope. We get him back to a situation where he doesn't have any of his usual stuff. He doesn't have his armor, really, and he has to try and fix his armor, as well as find out what's going on. And he's in a garage with a box of scrap.
Yeah.
And building, MacGyvering.
Yeah. I went home and I told Trey, yeah, Jarvis had to lie down. He goes, what? Yeah.
I need to take a little nap, sir. Because, well, as we've seen, you see a little bit of this in the trailer. Like, you see him say, like, he can't sleep.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. What you don't see in the trailer is him having anxiety attacks.
Like, and he actually does a really good job of that acting.
I've seen a few people I know who've had anxiety problems, you know, said, okay, he gets over them a little fast, but that's sort of par for the course for movies, really.
Yeah.
It's like, this is movie medicine we're talking about.
Whenever anybody brings up New York and the wormhole and the aliens, he starts hyperventilating, overheating, having a problem. And I love that the kid does not let go of it. The kid will not let go
of... I didn't even mention New York, and you just did. And, you know, and there's other stuff, well, and it's not always New York. Sometimes it's other little reminder things, other things that trigger it, which is kind of, which is really interesting. They are intrusive and debilitating. And, you know, at one point he starts having an anxiety attack while he's driving, and he has to pull over and stop.
Yeah.
Because he's, and, you know, he has that reaction of like, oh shit, not again, not again. This is getting worse. And one of the things I really love about that too is like I don't know if he admits to the anxiety attacks in front of Pepper, but he tells Pepper right at the beginning of the movie, I am not okay. He admits like fairly soon at the beginning of the movie, I should probably be on medication.
Yeah. Tony admits vulnerability.
Yeah.
A lot in this movie.
Yeah. And even, like I said, and even right at the beginning. Not like, you know, usually the sort of arc would be like, you know, oh, I have to be strong and tough forever. And then finally at the end, he can finally, you know, tell his one true love that, okay, I'm not okay. He can do that right at the beginning.
Yeah, he does it at the beginning. I also told Trey that at the end, mega spoiler here, people.
Yeah.
At the end, he goes for that surgery and gets the shrapnel removed from around his heart. So guess what he doesn't need in his chest anymore? The arc reactor. He throws it into the ocean at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. And, of course, the rest of the suits have been destroyed.
Yes.
And he has a lot of suits. It's actually one of those brilliant little moments, because right at the beginning, we see, you know, Pepper is telling Tony that he has gotten too obsessed with building the suits. And she's like, you've got, says something
what, like, don't you have 18 of those now or something
like
that?
Yeah, 15 of those. And he, like, you see him look at the sleeve of the suit, and it says Mark 42 on the side. He's like, yeah, something like that. Which comes into play later, because then it's like,
iron suits, assemble.
Yes, it's like, oh yes, he's got like 30 more of those.
Yes, and
to come to the rescue.
They are more or less sentient on their own, sort of.
And yeah, he's got Jarvis programmed into all of them so that he can control them from a headset remotely.
And I love that he's got nicknames for all of them.
Yes.
Igor, Heartthrob, and other things like that. And he does a protocol clean slate, and all of the suits just burst into fireworks.
Yeah, it was the house party protocol.
Yeah.
To get all the suits to come to the rescue, and then it was the clean slate to destroy them all.
Yeah.
But yeah, but he said at the end, I mean, and it's an amazing character change that he goes through, because at the end he says, you know, he realizes that the suits were a cocoon. They were, you know, he was building them to you know, try and protect himself so he could hide inside them or hide behind them. And then he realizes, you know, at the end, he says at the end, I realize I don't need the suits. I don't need the arc reactor. But then he says, as the last line, I am Iron Man.
Yep.
So who knows what this is going to mean for Avengers 2 or for future movies.
Maybe
he'll be building more suits, but he will just have a healthier relationship with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we won't have the same problem we had with the first movie, where you could just pull his heart out.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ew.
That sounds kind of icky.
Sounds like little Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so that's enough about Tony. How about bad guys?
Okay, getting into the point that the bit that the fanboys, I know there are some fanboys that hate it.
Yeah.
Because I have seen...
The fanboys turned into the flying monkeys that started screaming, shoveling, and throwing flaming poo.
And I should mention, like, I haven't read the comics, but I have read, like, a lot of articles describing the characters and stuff, and I've heard other people who are fans of the comics describe the characters and stuff. And the Mandarin is Tony's main bad guy. It goes through a long period of the comics. And he has certain powers and certain abilities, and at times is a pretty racist stereotype by the look of it. But he is Tony's main bad guy. And what I was totally not expecting at all
happened.
Didn't see this coming at all.
Yeah, neither of us did.
Yeah, so Ben Kingsley, who everybody's been talking about, the Mandarin, kind of not the Mandarin.
And yeah, this is literally like Tony does a double, face-to-face with the Mandarin, Tony does a double take when the Mandarin just sort of wakes up and looks at him. My name's Trevor.
Yeah, because it turns out that the guy who has been like taking over the airwaves and sending, you know, terrorist videos to America and the world is actually an actor from Britain who is the false face of the Mandarin. And Killian is actually the bad guy behind it.
Behind it all.
Which gets into some, which, whoa, that is, it's A, daring, because, you know, the fanboys aren't going to like it. And it's also like, whoa, I did not see that coming. And it's also kind of really interesting, because a lot of the way, especially if you look at the way the videos are done, mm-hmm. and a lot of the imagery in it and stuff like that, it's very much playing on what people expect to see, or what people expect a terrorist to be nowadays. Like, the beard and everything, these, like, sort of Eastern look, you know, it is very much playing on what people expect nowadays.
Yeah.
That they see as the face of terrorism. And it plays on that, too, to make everyone believe that he is actually the mastermind behind it. When it's so not. When it's actually a dude who's like, nope, I'm good. I am the good-looking white dude.
Yeah.
White dude businessman who wants some some fat government contracts.
Who has the uber white teeth and blonde highlights.
And I mean, like I said, I can see why the fanboys are pissed. I can also see why, especially depending because of certain ways the character has been portrayed in past years, the original Mandarin has been portrayed. I can see why they would want to change it. And I'm not sure how they would have done the original Mandarin in that sense. And we were saying, this is the point especially where, like, Marvel managed to turn to get the fans working against themselves.
Yeah, because if you will recall the months leading up to, I mean, like, hell, how long? Half a year?
The last year, yeah.
The fans ate, swallowed whole even, any bit of rumor or trivia that came out about the movie. Mm-hmm. And all Marvel had to do was leak the little bit about the Mandarin.
Yeah.
And everybody scattered, collected everything they ever knew about the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Built on it, and built rumor on top of rumor, on top of hypothesis, on top of guesswork.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this huge monument that just fell. In a very, very sort of like blink moment.
Yeah.
When you realize the fans did it to themselves.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there have been tons that we've looked on IO9 or Mary Sue or all those places, and you will find tons of articles, especially from last year, when they cast the Mandarin and when they started feeling, you know, leaked tiny little things, where, like, Marvel gave us, like, two little sentences about it, and, like, they even touched on the whole racial issue of it, because, of course, everyone was like, okay, he's a British actor. You know, Ben Kingsley is a British actor. Is this whitewashing? And why is he playing a character called the Mandarin? And stuff like that. And they would give us two little sentences, and you would see, like, long articles on, you know, speculating about how this was going to happen, and putting out theories, and because basically, you know, nowadays, like, the fans, especially on the internet, they will, you know, you give them one little thing, and they go nuts and start building theory upon theory to try and...
Look at Sherlock right now. It's at the point where they're stalking the
fandom are starting to eat itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, there's all the, you know, everyone's trying to get all these tiny little pictures, and there is one picture I've seen that is actually made possibly slightly spoiler for Spy Axe saw by accident, that is possibly slightly spoilery for Sherlock. But, you know, that, as well as other stuff, I haven't looked at there. I've seen a little bit of discussion, and I'm sure there is tons more discussion in places I am not looking, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see spoilers. So yeah, it's quite amazing how Marvel managed to play the fans. And looking at that, I was like,
damn.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done, sirs. Oh my god, I was hoping to see, I wanted to see it again this past week, but I just didn't get a chance.
One of the things I loved was when he was making all of the MacGyvering up all of his normal gear,
mm-hmm.
in bits and pieces, and the Christmas ornament sort of like bombs.
Yes! Oh my god.
I mean, I swear, they should have had the A music in the background, the A-team music.
Yeah, they really should have.
Three quarters of the way through.
For the assembling.
Yeah, it's when they go into
montage.
Yeah, music montage. It's great.
Oh, and what I was gonna, the other thing I was gonna mention and this is a, this has an added thing that I haven't talked to you about. Of course, like, as we mentioned, oh my god, Happy Hogan.
Yeah.
Has a good part in this. he starts out as, you know, comic relief, because he's been promoted to head of security at Stark Industries.
And he's causing hell.
He's causing havoc. He's like, you should be wearing a badge! And everyone's like, calm down, Happy. And he starts, you know, doing his own little investigation, and unfortunately gets caught in the crossfire of this explosion, which, you know, he's very badly injured, but he's gonna be okay. But one of the things...
Oh, that was so cute.
He's unconscious, he's in a coma, and Tony's there, and all upset. And it's like, oh, Tony. Aw, you care about people. And he's... Tony tells the nurse to leave the TV on he says he loves this show. We go pan over the TV. It's showing Downton Abbey!
Because he thinks it's classy.
And then at the end, when he wakes up, and he sees Downton Abbey, and there's that that pretty nurse next to him. Yeah.
And you're like, aww.
But something, the thing that someone pointed out, or actually Jon Favreau mentioned it on his Twitter. He's like, did anybody notice about the specific scenes that were showing from Downton Abbey? And I remember, as soon as I saw that tweet, I was like, I remembered exactly what scenes they were, because I had sort of noticed. It's, if you watch Downton Abbey, there's scenes of Sybil and Branson, the chauffeur. And A, Happy was Tony's driver.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he says something about, you know, they have a special meaning. And so if you think about it, Sybil is the upper class woman sort of above him, who is unobtainable, above Branson.
But she also does nursing, doesn't she, in the show?
Yeah. She's in, well the first the time war. We see, I think the first time we see, I think the first scene we see, she's not a nurse yet. So someone, and he retweeted someone who had replied, is this a hint about him having a thing for Pepper?
Ooh.
It's like, aww. But then we see her in the nurse outfit later. And then he's sort of like, oh, you're rather cute, to the nurse that's come in to check on him. Aww. So, you know, maybe he's transferring
his
feelings.
He has his own Pepper now.
Yes. But it's like, oh, I didn't even realize that while I was watching it. I just love the big, tough, ex-boxer, security guy, Happy Hogan, loves Downton Abbey. There's just so much, there's so much awesome stuff with Tony. And the middle I'm thinking of is Tony and the kid, and there's so much awesome stuff in there. It's just hilarious. This is both of them being little shits to
each
other.
Yeah, they are little shits. They're basically brothers that were just born a couple of decades
apart. Oh my god,
apart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect way of putting it, actually. Brotherly, slightly antagonistic.
Yep.
But still... caring.
And the lab that the kid gets at the end, because
oh my god, yes,
who wouldn't want this? The kid comes off of the school bus, goes into his, because it's pretty much his workshop garage that Tony takes over, and it's just transformed. And you want to talk, that kid has what looks like a vintage car, just beautifully set there.
I think we saw he said something, there was a line or something earlier about the vintage car, I think was his dad's or something like that.
Yeah.
It was in rough shape before that, and then when we see it at the end, it's all been fixed up.
And
he's got, like, all this fancy equipment.
Computer stuff everywhere, and...
Potato Gun Mark II.
Potato Gun Mark II, that's right, because the kid pulls a potato gun on
Tony
to begin with as his source of weaponry to defend himself.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Oh, and of course, we have to discuss the post-credits scene. Which, for one, of course, the movie ends, the credits start, and we see people leaving!
Dude!
And I managed to stop myself from not yelling. Like, you were at the opening, you were at the quote-unquote sort of midnight showing, you were at the early showing. How do you not know about Marvel movies? Though, as someone, again, as someone on Tumblr said, you know, their thought is more like, we have culled the weakest ones. Only the strong remain. But yes, so, and it's so cool because the beginning of the movie is Tony voiceover. End of the movie is Tony voiceover. So it just sounds like he's telling the story to the audience. And then as the credits finish, the Tony voiceover comes back. And we realize he hasn't been telling the story to us.
He's been telling it to a certain doctor. Dr. Banner.
Yes!
Who has dozed off while listening to Tony. Yes!
Mark Ruffalo is in it!
And when Tony realizes that Dr. Banner has sort of not been paying attention, he's like, where did I lose you? Elevator in Switzerland?
Ooh, yes, because we didn't even mention that. Oh my god. Yeah.
So you missed the whole thing? And he's trying to explain to Tony, this isn't my kind of
doctor. I'm not that kind of a doctor!
It's like, what, you don't have the time? No! The temperament. Like, anybody who knows anything laughs at that point.
And it wasn't quite the post-credits I was hoping for, but it was still amazing.
You were hoping for a Coulson, but this is an okay runner-up.
Yep.
And Tony, being Tony, is totally unperturbed by this and plunges headlong into another story about his childhood, as most people do.
And the other cool thing, at the beginning of the movie, it starts out in 1999 at a conference in Switzerland, which is the one that Jensen in the first movie said he met Tony before, and Tony totally blew him off, and we see Jensen again. Like, oh, you're gonna die in the first movie. This makes me sad. But, and we also get an image of past Tony. Tony as a philandering party dude who blows people off and makes them pissed off at him and kind of, as he says, creates his own demons. So yeah, oh my god.
I think that's the Tony that he likes to play. Because you gotta admit, it's a lot more fun.
It's more fun, but I think, well, for an actor too, like, he must have really enjoyed, Robert Downey Jr. also must have really enjoyed being, you know, doing Tony through the middle of the movie, because he just has so much meat to chew on for that one. Like, I'm sure it's more exhausting, and it's more difficult and stuff, but it's also
more satisfying.
More rewarding in that way.
Yeah.
Be like, yes, I kicked that page of dialogue's ass. Well, I cannot wait for the future Marvel movies. This is going to be so awesome!
And it is a Christmas-based movie. Everything happens around Christmas.
It's a Christmas movie!
Yeah.
He gives Pepper a highly impractical Christmas present.
Yep. And what I kind of love, because you know Tony in his lab always has music going. He's listening to Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah.
Funny.
Alternate Christmas carol. It's the Marvel Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Christmas special.
What the hell? It's Christmas.
Better than the Star Wars Christmas special.
I would say, so all in all, I think it gets 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, I really want to see it again.
That's enough for...
Like, really, really want to see it again.
Yeah, it's enough of a sign right there that it's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, see it as many times as Avengers sort of deal, but I definitely want to see it again so I can absorb more, because it's like, oh my god, there's so much to absorb during this movie. Oh, and I was thinking, like... I forget if I leaned over and told you, if I mentioned it after the movie. You know, I have to imagine there's one part where Tony actually sort of calls out the Mandarin.
Oh, yeah.
And in my head, I'm just like, somewhere, Nick Fury is watching this because he's surrounded by press and he's doing this to the press. And it's obvious, like, he's not thinking straight and
he's super snapped. Emotional.
Yeah, because this is right after he's seen Happy.
In a coma, full cast, full everything.
Yeah, like, you know, the doctors say he's going to make it. So, you know, he's obviously not thinking straight and not doing the smart thing. But he basically calls out the Mandarin in front of all this press. And I'm thinking somewhere Nick Fury is standing watching this and being like, oh, hell no.
He can get his own tin ass out of trouble this time. That rusted tin can bucket really done it this time.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere Coulson is just facepalming.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, or being like, oh, thank God, he is not my problem anymore. He is so not my problem right now, thank God. Because otherwise, Coulson might have to take Tony up on that threat to tase him and watch him drool into the carpet while Coulson watches Super Nanny that he made in Iron Man 2. Okay, safe to come back from spoilers, because this is pretty much it. So, of course, next week is the Star Trek Into Darkness, which I am definitely going to. Lily is definitely going to.
That's for sure.
Not sure about you yet, but we can see.
Don't know.
What happens?
We'll have to see how the planets align themselves.
Yep. But, so, you might not hear from Maggie on the microphone for a couple weeks, but she will be back.
Yep. As soon as life starts to go into a more even pace, and I'm not wondering in which box I pack my brain.
Yeah, and once you're all nice and settled in the new house.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
I have dreams about spinning on my back deck.
I've seen photos of your back deck, and those are perfectly wonderful dreams. And I can picture it, too.
Yeah. So anyways...
We'll have to have a spin-in!
I plan on, for Halloween, I plan on having the spinning wheel out for the kiddies at trick-or-treating time. Anyways, that's far into the future, so... Alright, guys, I'm waving because I don't know when I'll see you again, but it'll be soon.
Yep. And I'm sure you'll pop up occasionally on the Ravelry thread.
Oh, yeah. I will.
To flail or squeal or...
I will...
Comment on Tom Hiddleston's hair.
I will still be doing the show notes... They haven't been as prompt as before because normally I listen to the podcast at work. And I take and you notes have no as time. I go. And now my multitasking is being severely taxed.
Yes. I will try and pick up on the slack when I'm not actually editing episodes or doing assignments. Holy shit.
So, long story short, we are still here. We are still getting episodes out.
Yep.
And show notes out. We just might not be as prompt as normal.
Yes.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Have a good week. Oh my god, Coulson lives.
Oh my god.
Thanks for listening. To visit our show notes, listen to old episodes, or leave something in our tip jar, you can visit us at knit1geek2.emptypockets.org. That's knit1geek2.mt-pockets.org. You can also comment at our Ravelry group. Just search the Ravelry groups for knit1geek2. We're also on Twitter. You can find us at www.twitter.com/knit1geek2. Have a good week, everybody.